crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Man, we got a whole show full today. That's all I can tell you. We have beef news, alfalfa news, goat sheep news, chicken news. We got it going on today, so it'll be a fun day today. First, let's check out the weather for current temperature, 68 degrees at Hollis. I think it's maybe, nope. Buffalo is the warmest in the state at 69. Hollis is at 68. Mangum, you're 63. Elk City is 59. Over here at Fairview, 61 degrees. Up there in the Panhandle, Beaver, 68. Perryton, Texas is 68. Canadian is 59. And Wheeler is 62 degrees. And I'll have all your Long Ranger forecasts coming up for you later on the show. Nothing crazy happened on the Clark Ponderosa this weekend that I can remember anyway. I do want to tell you about my wheat crop. So a couple months ago, if it's been that long, I was reading a report from OSU about wheat germination and soil temperatures, and it said 52 degrees is what the soil temperature needs to be through the 4-inch depth, I believe, if I remember the report right. 2 or 4, it doesn't matter. It needs to be around 52 degrees. Well, I got called out on that quite a bit from a lot of people. And I was like, man, I'm just reading what the report says. You know, they're the professionals. We just grow it out here. Anyway, so I did 4 test plots of wheat to determine if it's true or not. One, I planted wheat December the 8th or 10th. I didn't write this down, so I'm going off guesstimations on my dates. Planted it. I had plenty of moisture. 2 weeks later, I believe on the right before Christmas, I planted another 15 acres. And then I planted some on January the 10th, another 30 acres. And then I planted some about 10 days ago, right at the end of January. The next to last that I planted there the first part of January, the ground moisture was okay. It wasn't perfect. And then we got a snow. So it worked out. Now, the one that I just planted a few weeks ago, it had no moisture. So basically, it had a little bit of moisture. Let me rephrase that. About 2 inches down was good moisture, but the top 2 inches was dry. I did get a snow on it. So let's go back to where I started in December. That is up, looking good. My second one is up, looking better than what I planted first. And then my third, the 30 acres that I planted January 10th, is up, and it looks better than the other two, the first two. And then the last one, it is up, not up yet, but I checked it this morning. It has sprouted down in there, so I figure with these warm temperatures this week, it should be up. Ground temperature on my first planting was 51 degrees. Ground temperature on my second planting was 49. Ground temperature on my third one was 44. And the ground temperature on my fourth one, my last one that's not up yet, was around 37 degrees. And so, anyway, moral of the story is all 4 of them come up when the ground temperature got pretty close to 50 degrees and wasn't doing nothing until it got close to 50 degrees. So I honestly believe that that story that I put out from OSU on germination is at 51 degrees or 52 degrees is a true story. So there you have it. Just all I can tell you is that snow saved me. How's that? Anyway, good times. All right, let's see what's happened overnight or this weekend in the big ag world. Soybean futures were lower in overnight, trading amidst favorable weather in parts of Brazil, the world's largest exporter of oil seeds. They are forecast to lead a record harvest. Rainfall is expected to continue in parts of the South American country this week, according to the forecast from Don Kinley, a meteorologist with Maxar. Rain in south central areas will further improve soil moisture, especially in about three or four other states. One of them is the Santa Catarina and Parana, if I said that right. Wetness should ease in the northeastern areas also. Brazil is expected by the USDA to produce 153 million metric tons of soybeans in the 22-23 marketing year. If realized, this will be the largest crop on record. Growers a year earlier produced 129 million, according to data from the USDA. Output in Argentina, meanwhile, is expected to rise despite dry weather for the past several months. The USDA last month pegged production in the country at 45.5 million metric tons, up from 43 million metric tons a year earlier. Soybean futures for March delivery fell 8 pennies to $15.24 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down 480 to 491.70 a short ton, while soy oil rose 24 cents to 59.30 a pound. Corn futures for March delivery fell 3 cents to 674.5 a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery were up 1.25 cents to 7.58 a bushel, while Kansas City futures added 2.75 cents to $8.75.75 a bushel. Well, as you guys all know, unless you're a new listener, Mondays is Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour, and I'll have more on the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association coming up for you here shortly. Winds expected to gust up to 50 miles an hour in South Dakota, according to the National Weather Service. Winds in central and northern South Dakota are forecast from 35 to 45 miles an hour this afternoon and evening, with gusts up to 50 miles an hour in the forecast. Light snow and freezing drizzle also forecast for eastern North Dakota and western Minnesota today. Further east in south-central Wisconsin, meanwhile, patchy freezing fog is falling this morning. Motorists are advised to slow down. Might be some slick spots out there. I'll tell you what, that last week's storm through Arkansas and Oklahoma City and Dallas, there was some crazy wrecks going on. All you got to do is stay home or get off the road or just slow down. Because as you guys heard me say last week when I was coming up from Willow to come up to the radio station that one morning, we had that slick roads going on from the rain, freezing rain. I was going 45 in my one-ton truck, and there was people passing me like I was sitting still. Take it easy, people. It'll be all right. Okay, let's see what the futures are right now on grains. Let me update them real quick. I brought this up about 30 minutes ago. Yep, and it's changed. Corn, March 674, May 673, July 663, September 609. Soybeans for March 1517. FYI, everything is in the red but livestock today and oil. How about that? Soybean meal for March, 488.40 a short ton. May is 474. July is 465. Soybean oil, March 5890. May is 5916. Hard red winter wheat, 876. It's actually up a little bit, not too much. And May is 868. Oats are kind of dead even. March is 384, and May is 373. Speaking of oats, I had a text in right before the show started, gentleman wanting to ask how many pounds of oats to sow per acre. And what I sow would be 2 bushels per acre, so basically, what, 66 pounds per acre. I'm sure I've had crops at just a bushel an acre, and they come up just fine. But anyway, just a recommendation. Text line is open, wide open, at 580-225-9697. Text in, if you would, please, what your recommendation is, how many pounds of oats to sow per acre. Down here, cotton, it's in the red. March is 85 cents a pound. May is 86 cents a pound. And sugar, from a sugar baby, is not doing too bad. Almost 22 cents a pound for March. I'm not the smartest cat out here on this future stuff, and I've been looking and I can't find it. So if one of you guys is pretty sharp on the internet and know how to look stuff up on the futures and the commodities, could you find out what pineapples, if there is a market for pineapples and futures and stuff like that? Because I understand he's going to plant pineapples this spring, and I want to know what the futures are so I can keep him update on how much money he's either making or losing. I'd appreciate it. When I come back from this Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour commercial, we're going to talk about the futures on live and feeders, and they are looking super good today. And also, I've got results from the sheep and goat sale at Hobart Saturday. Looked pretty good. And then we're going to talk chickens and a good story. It's crazy. We're in the wrong business if we have cattle or horses or sheep, because this chicken deal's got way out of hand. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa know-how.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Report for Monday, January 30th. I'm Drew Cobb. 246 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 368 brought 213.45. At 603 brought 245. At 699 brought 185. 3 head of heifers at 555 brought 158. 7 at 576 brought 172. 7 at 581 brought 177. Butcher cows were 38-100. Butcher bulls brought 89-106. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. That's exit 71. Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. And since I got a little extra time here, why not a Jimmy Clark joke or three? You know, I hear Jimmy Clark doesn't read books. He stares them down until he gets the information he wants. You know, time waits for no man unless that man is Jimmy Clark. You know, if you spell Jimmy Clark in Scrabble, you win. Forever. Good afternoon once again, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 27th. 724 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 400 brought 237.50. 12 at 420 brought 235. 6 at 434 brought 230. 4 at 485 brought 208. 26 at 510 brought 210. 22 at 519 brought 198. 5 at 614 brought 191. 7 head of heifers at 346 brought 207. 9 at 419 brought 203. 11 at 493 brought 187. 50. 8 at 533 brought 184. 7 at 545 brought 174. 5 at 585 brought 171. 6 at 680 brought 161. Butcher cows were 52-97.50. Butcher bulls brought 75-114. Bred cows were 735-1635. Pairs brought 1310-1425. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your Livestock Nutrition Center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed. Better results.
He loves talking about farming and ranching.
Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently at Wellington, Texas, 65 degrees, humidity is 36%. The wind is out of the southwest at 10 miles an hour, gust up to 13. Peak wind gust today so far, 18 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation in Wellington, 13 one-hundredths. Red flag minutes today, none. Sub-freezing minutes today, zero, so it never got down there. Their 8-inch soil temperature currently right now in Wellington, Texas, is 42 degrees. Well, today is Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour. When you are a member of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, you also get to be a part of many ways that cattlemen give back. The charitable arm of the OCA is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Foundation. The OCF distributes over $25,000 in scholarships each year, organizing internship programs, payout through theft rewards, and has collected and paid over $1.5 million in natural disaster relief for wildfires and flooding. The OCA also hosts an annual WRCA sanctioned rodeo exclusively for Oklahoma ranch teams. Over $600,000 of the proceeds of this event has been given to the benefit of the Children's Hospital Foundation. Great deal. It's always a great day to become a member, so go to www.okcattlemen.org or call Miss Lori at 580-273-5137. Also, they got district meetings coming up. Actually, there is one today in McAllister at the Southeast Oklahoma Expo Center. It starts at 6 o'clock tonight with vendor and sponsor visitation. Meetings begin at 6:30 with a steak dinner, of course. Tomorrow, February 7th, the Southwest District in Oklahoma, Comanche County Fairgrounds at Lawton. Same thing, 6 o'clock, 6:30, steak. And then coming up February 9th, Northwest District, Woodward County Fairgrounds at Woodward. Same thing, 6 o'clock vendor and sponsor visitation. Meetings begin at 6:30 with a steak dinner. And then coming up next week, February 13th, the Northeast District at the Mays County Fairgrounds in Pryor, Oklahoma. Same thing, 6 o'clock and 6:30 with a steak dinner. Thank you, OCA, for sponsoring Mondays on Today in Ag. All right, let's get started with cattle. How about that? I think it's going to get crazy this spring with cattle. I don't know why, but I really think it's going to. Live cattle, February, 160.75. April, 164.37. June, 160.60. August, 159.67. Feeder cattle for March, 187.77. April, 191.72. Lean hogs, February, 75.35. April, 83.02. And May is 92.15. Okay, hey, I'm going to be this young man. He's a good kid, so I'm going to throw out a big shout out to him. There's a gentleman here in Beckham County, young gentleman. He has 34 Black Angus cows for sale. They're 3 to 5 year olds. 5 calves are already on the ground and more on the way. If you're interested in these 34, give Tristan a call at 580-729-2299. 729-2299. I seen that on Facebook last night, and there's some really nice looking Black Angus. Well, there's 33 Black Angus and one red one. I seen a red one in there, so I'll correct him today on the show. How's that? But give that young man a shout. He's young in the cattle business, and I know you guys are needing some cows from culling here in the last year or so. If you're wanting some cows, that'd be a great set. They're all young. Okay. After my schooling with Rex Fleming down there at the Hobart Stockyards, I think I might be able to read this sheep and goats report for you. So I'm going to briefly go over some of them. Ewes, sheep, weighing 0 to 74 pounds, 58-pound average, 271, 57 apiece. Anywhere from 270 to 275 is what they were bringing. Ewe sheeps, 100 to 124 pounds, average weight was 102. They were bringing anywhere from 80 to 105, 82.25 was the average. Let's drop on down here to hares on the ewe part. 0 to 74 pounds, 50 pounds was the average. 259.51 was the average price. They were bringing anywhere from $100 to $335. Hares weighing 100 to 124, 120 was the average. It looked like they were just straight across the board at $70. Then let's get down here to the rams on the sheep part, 75 to the 149 weight average, brought anywhere from 85 to 220, 153 was the average. And let's get down to the rams on the hares, 75 to 149 was bringing anywhere from $50 to 270, 155 was the average amount. Lambs, sheep, 0 to 74 pounds. 230 to 275, 267 was the average price on the lambs. On the sheep, from 75 to 149 weights, they were bringing anywhere from 120 to 295, 201, 48 was the average price. Hares, lambs, 0 to 74, anywhere from 220 to 340, 298, 45 was the average price. And then on the hares, 75 to 149 on the lambs, 75 to 149, 113 was the average weight, and they were bringing anywhere from 120 to 200, 158 was the average price. Here we go, nanny goats, 0 to 74, 48 pounds was the average. They were bringing anywhere from $200 to 320, 272 was the average price. Down here on the billy goats, 0 to 74, 125 to 265, 206.25 was the average price. Billy goats on the 150 and over, 177 was average weight on them. 150 to 200, 183, 33 was the average price. And got a couple more here for you. Kid goats, 0 to 74, 200 to 335 was the average price. 276, 335 was top end. 276, 31 was the average. And then on the goats, on the kids, 75 to 149 weights, 98 pounds was the average weight. 150 to 290, a little over $200 per animal goat. There's some, I guess there's some money in this stuff, huh? All right, thank you, Rex Fleming. Hope I said that good. Chickens. Let's get to chickens. Let's talk about what started my chicken deal today. So yesterday I posted on Facebook that I was taking orders for April from beef to be processed. And I was just going to be a little humorous. So I put in big bold letters, "If you, free dozen eggs for each quarter purchased." I sold more beef yesterday than I have in the last year, I think. I don't know. If they want eggs, I'm going to get them their eggs. Don't worry. Anyway, so I got to talking to some friends and checked some sales all over the state of Oklahoma. And here's what's going on with chickens right now in Oklahoma, and I'm sure in Texas also. A normal up to three-year-old laying hen, just plain Jane laying hen, averaging $45 a piece right now. Specialized hens that got the colored feathers and probably lay the colored eggs and all that stuff are bringing $85 a piece. Then there was rumors of a pair of, I don't even know if I can pronounce them, so I'm not going to. They're really cool chickens, I guess. For that price, they better be cool chickens. Anyway, a pair of chickens that a rooster and a hen, of course, that's what they identified the other day. And anyway, brought $200. A pair of chickens brought $200. And then a dozen of fertilized eggs, $125 a dozen. We're in the wrong business. I'm not sure how long this chicken thing is going to last, but it is crazy. So anyway, then there's rumors of some different feed out there that they're feeding their chickens that the government has got involved with and not is causing your chickens not to lay eggs. And one lady told me she had that problem. She switched over to a goat feed that she feeds the goats, and they went right back to laying. So anyway, another conspiracy theory going on. So anyway, let's take a break. I'm done with chickens. And when we come back to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour, we got more to talk about, all kinds of things to talk about today. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around Western Oklahoma. The typical gas station is like a 35 micron filter. We run 10 micron filters in all of our stuff. So when we load our bobtail and all that, we filter it through a 10 micron filter. I'm pretty prideful, and the last thing I want to do is hear that someone got water or dirt in their diesel and they had problems and burnt their motor up or something like that. That's the last thing I want to happen.
So how does your more stringent filtering, how does it help your customers save money?
Filters aren't cheap. Let's say over 3 years you change one filter, or in 3 years you change 10 filters. You know, I'm all about saving each penny, because that's all the pennies add up. That's where your profit is.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Paradise and Ford Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs. Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale is February 22nd at 12:30 at the ranch near Leedy, selling 150 two-year-old bulls. Sires include Deer Valley Growth Fund, Monin Dakota, Baldridge Alternative, and several other breed-leading AI sires. Also selling commercial females carrying QC Genetics. The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale, Wednesday, February 22nd at 12:30 at Quartermaster Creek Ranch, southwest of Leedy. You can also view the sale and bid online. For videos and sale information, log on to quartermastercreek.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, let's check out. Ooh, the thing moved a little faster than I wanted it to. Bear with me here a second. Let me get back to where I'm supposed to be on the computer. Yeah, there we are. Beaver, Oklahoma, here is your forecast. Currently, you're at 70 degrees. The winds are out of the west, northwest at 26 miles an hour, and gust up to 32, getting it up there. Humidity is 9%. That's not good. Anyway, be careful up there what you're doing out there on the farm or the ranch. Don't be doing welding or anything outside with wind gusts like that. Fire hazard. Anyway, today, mostly sunny and 66. Guess what? You already beat that. Tonight, 29. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 48 degrees. Tomorrow night, 20% chance of rain or snow. Mostly sunny at 55 Wednesday, Thursday, 20% chance of rain showers, 45 for a high, and Friday, 48 and sunny. And there's your forecast for Beaver, Oklahoma. All right, it's my time of the hour to mention a bull sale that advertises in the Penny News. Today, I got the Bradley 3 Ranch out here just across state line there west of Hollis in Texas. It's the home of the wide body sale. Annual bull sale, Saturday, February 11th, coming up this Saturday, actually, at 12 noon. 170 Angus bulls, 90 Charolais bulls, 60 Angus females. Complete performance data, 15 to 18-month-old registered bulls. All bulls have been BSE, DNA tested, PAP, PAP, EPDs for Angus bulls. The Bradley 3 Ranch. Go to www.bradley3ranch.com or call one of these people here at, call Mary Bradley Henderson at 940-585-6471 or James Henderson at 940-585-6171 or just pick up you a copy of the Penny News and go to page 8 as of right now and open it up and you'll see a picture of big old Angus and Charolais bull looking at you right in the face. How about that? Roger Mills County Cattlemen's Association all breed bull sale was Saturday. I heard it was a very huge success. I think the average was up a couple hundred dollars per bull over last year, and they had a big turnout. Matter of fact, one of my buddies said he had to park by the highway. That's a pretty good walk from there to the barn. So anyway, congratulations to the Roger Mills Cattlemen's Association for another successful bull sale. This was number 45, I believe. And go from there. All right, what else do I got to talk about? Let's see here. We got to talk about summaries from Texas and Oklahoma. Let's go with Texas first this week. Compared to last week's light run due to snow, feeder steers and heifers sold steady to $4 higher on limited comparable sales. Trade activity was moderate to good on good demand. Slaughter cows and bulls were steady to $3 higher. Supply included 81% feeder cattle, 18% slaughter cattle, and 1% replacement cows. All right. Total receipts last week in Texas were 3,557 head compared to 3,271 the week before and 1,599 last year. Just to briefly look at some of these right here, we had some 345-pound weight steers brought anywhere from 253 to 279. 266 was the average. They had some 310-pound unweaned calves brought 220. 400-pound range, we had 420s, 239 to 252, 242.20 average. Some unweaned ones weighing 443, 217 was a high end on those. And then down here in the 500-pound range, we had some 520s that was bringing anywhere 203 to 227. Some 600-pounders was bringing 624 weights, 186 to 202. And then 700-pounders was bringing up to 183.50. 800-pounders were bringing up $1.82. 900-pounders bringing $1.69. What steers, what cattle did sell in Texas last week looked like they did really well. Here we go in Oklahoma. Compared to last week, all classes were lightly tested and many auctions closed due to weather. Winter weather moved in the first of the week. It was sleet and freezing rain. This hung around much of the week and made travel difficult in many areas. Most classes were lightly tested on feeder cattle and calves, and a higher undertone is noted. Slaughtered cows and bulls also lightly tested. Also, a higher undertone was noted there as well. Supply included 85% feeder cattle, 14% slaughtered cattle, and 1% replacement cattle. 6,693 head through the sale barns last week here in Oklahoma, compared to almost 20,000 the week before and 24,000 a year ago. Let's see here. They got, we got some here. 372s were bringing up to 244. Some 336s brought up to 262. Some 427 steers, 246 high end. Down here in the 5-weight class, 229 looks like it was a high end. 600 pounds up to $2. 700 weights were anywhere from $1.76 to $1.90. 800 pounders were bringing anywhere from $1.70 to $1.80, $1.75 per 100 weight. Not too shabby. All right, let's check out the drought map. We had so many people on last week, we didn't. The new drought monitor obviously came out last week. I don't know if you guys look at it much. It's not getting much better. Most of western Oklahoma, central west Oklahoma, are in a D2. Southwestern Oklahoma, which includes Greer, Kiowa, Jackson, Hollis, Tillman, you're in a D3. Still up there along the Oklahoma-Kansas border, and I'm talking from one end of Oklahoma to the other, you're mostly in a D4. Need some rain, and I'd say 60% of Kansas is in a D4. I mean, it don't look very good, and most of, I'd say over half of Oklahoma is in the D3 for sure. Far eastern Oklahoma doesn't even have any drought going on there along the Arkansas line, but right up there in the Missouri-Kansas line, it's about as dry as it is out here. Hopefully one of these storms that they keep saying is coming through here in the next week or 10 days, somebody's going to get it. Because I've been paying attention to a pond that I go by at least twice a day over by the Hood Ranch down there in Greer County. And I've been watching that pond, and I'm telling you, it looked full a couple weeks ago, and it don't look so full now. So it is getting soaking water up, dissipating. It's going. It's gone. We need some really good runoff rain right now. So anyway, and I know you guys know that. All right. When we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you, and we're going to talk about some Oklahoma Attorney General come on board with some other people. We're going to talk about them. Got a lawsuit going. Joe and his EPA boys and his National Wildlife guys, they're not doing too good here lately. Between WOTUS and the Prairie Chicken deal, they got more lawsuits than they have lawyers in the world going on. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that and maybe farmers going to go heavy on corn this year, the word has it. So we'll be right back after this.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, January the 31st, we sold 168 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, February the 2nd, we sold 1,200 calves and feeders for a total of 1,368 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows, 98 to 1 or 150, with one four-year-old cow bringing 129. 10 cows brought 80 to 93, with the bulls bringing 85 to 116.50. Killing cows are a very short supply, 2 weeks of low numbers for everybody around. That makes them very high. If you got any sale, might be a good time. 3 to 350 steers, 240 to 251, 4 to 450, 226 to 246, 5 to 550, 204 to 229, 6 to 650, 190 up to $2. 7 to 750, 176 to 184, and our 8 to 850, 170, 171. On our heifers, 4 to 450 heifers, 194 to 199, 5 to 550, 172 and a half to 185, 6 to 650, 173 to 180, 7 to 750, 170 to 172, 75. We sold 82 heifers, one bunch weighing 640, bring 175, and 81 heifers weighing 797 in one bunch, bringing 165. Good market for this Tuesday. Cows are in short supply. Take advantage of it if you got any sale. We'll see you this Tuesday. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves. A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day. That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Jerusha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in Southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 4th at 12:30 p.m. Selling 84 bulls that have been feed efficiency tested on the GrowSafe system. They got DNA test data, birth, weaning, and yearling data, and ultrasound data. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 4th at 12:30 at a new location. From the Burns Flat Cotton Gin, go 1 mile east and a quarter mile south. Get information at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, who do we pick today for Southwestern Oklahoma? Let's play paper, scissors, and rocks. Let's just go with Altus. Altus, Oklahoma, 65 degrees currently, and your humidity is 54%. Winds are out of south at 13, gusting up to 17. Today, 72 for a high. Tonight, 42. Tomorrow, 50% chance of rain. 45 for a high. 30% chance of rain tomorrow night. 30% chance of rain Wednesday. 55 for a high. Thursday starts warming up. Sunny, 55. Friday, 52. And mostly sunny. How about that? That's your forecast for Altus, Oklahoma, brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden, right there in the capital of Kiowa County, Hobart, Oklahoma. Okay, let's see where we need to start. Oh, I got a couple questions since I got a little bit of time left. Maybe you guys will text in that help me with a couple questions that I have. I have a friend who wants to start raising rabbits. Do you know of someone locally who might give him some advice? So if there's anybody out there that is raising or has raised rabbits and wouldn't mind sharing their phone number with this person, if you will text it to me, I will give it to them and see if you can help them out. They would appreciate it. Also had another question on no-till gardens. Do you have an opinion on this or caution suggestions? Part of my garden is no-till, part of it is. It all depends. You can get by with no-till as far, this is my opinion, it's not professional by no means. You can really get by really good on no-till with tomatoes and peppers and stuff like that. Plant your tomatoes and peppers and whatever else. Once they're growing good, straw everything around them so you don't get any weeds, and you can do that year after year. 3 years in a row, I did my tomatoes, and I never tilled that area. Now, when it comes to okra and squash and stuff like that, I'm sure you can get by with it. I didn't have the patience, so I tilled it up lightly and went with that. So, yeah, you can. Anyway, but YouTube is your best information on, because you're going to pick a style you want to do, and not everybody's style is the same. Or you can get with your OSU Extension office for any advice. They know rabbits. They know no-till. They got it, and I promise you, especially like over here with Greg Hartman in Beckham County, I've called him numerous times in the last 3 or 4 years on different things, some of them stupid, some of them actually smart, and he's always found me an answer. If he doesn't know it, he will get with experts up there in Stillwater, not during the OSU football game, but other than that, he will get with them, and I've always got an answer, and it always seems to be pretty correct. So there you go. That's all I can help you with. And I will find out on the Shorthorn. Somebody asked me if I knew what the Shorthorn bulls brought that was at the all breed sale at Cheyenne. If somebody's got a picture, they want a screenshot and text it to me at 580-225-9697. I would appreciate it, because I think those Shorthorn bulls was Linda Lucas's, if I'm not mistaken. So anyway, thanks for all the feedback on the text line today. All right, let's get on with the show. The Oklahoma Attorney General Drummond announced Friday his intent to file a lawsuit against the Biden administration if it does not withdraw its rule by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that designates the lesser prairie chicken as a threatened species. They did this crap 10 or 15 years ago, and I don't know. There's got to be more politics than we are seeing out here. But the way they're doing it now, it's going to make it really hard on the landowner. The rule, which is scheduled to take effect March 27th, would place burdensome restrictions on Oklahoma ranchers, including Texas ranchers, because I think the Texas AG has already got his lawsuit filed, needing to graze livestock, as well as unnecessary impede development of energy pipelines, oil drilling, and wind farms and roads. And I can tell you, about, what is this year, 23? So, yeah, about 10 years ago, I was fracking a well not too far from where they were building a location up there north of Canadian up there. I don't even remember the name of the ranch. It was a big one. They're all big out there. Anyway, we had to shut out everything because the guy building the location down the road a quarter of a mile seen a prairie chicken. I mean, we had to shut everything down. And I have, believe me, people, I'm a big avid of wildlife, outdoors. I am. I'm all about saving quail, saving the turkeys, saving the prairie chickens. But some things just get stupid. Anyway, in the February 2nd letter to the U.S. Secretary of Interior, Hyland, and USFW Director Martha Williams, Drummond noted that the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation has worked closely with federal agencies, industrial leaders, private landowners, and conservation groups and other stakeholders to protect the lesser prairie chicken and its habitat without this restriction from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. The letter provides a 60-day notice of an intent to file litigation for failing to follow Section 4 of the Endangered Species Act with regard to the final rule that the USFW issued on November 25th. Oklahoma is part of the Northern District population segment where the lesser prairie chicken is to be listed as a threatened species, while birds in the Southern District population will be listed as endangered. The rule presents a threat for cattle grazing, energy production, and other vital aspects of Western Oklahoma's economy, including Texas Panhandle, because I know I got a lot of Texas listeners out there. I am calling on all affected stakeholders to join me in fighting this battle, he said. While I've been encouraged by many conservationists and actions with various groups, I am disappointed that the Oklahoma... And its organization truly represents the interests of rural Oklahoma. Drummond encouraged all affected individuals and organizations to reach out to the Office of the Attorney General in an effort to give the state its best chance to prevail. So if you're part of an organization or you're a landowner in that area, get on the phone. Light up the Attorney General's line. I wish I had his number. I'm sorry I don't. I'd give you their number, but get after it. And this is crazy. If you're in Texas, you know what you got to do over there. Same thing. Get a hold of your Texas Attorney General and raise Cain, just like everybody with this WOTUS deal is going on. And I'll have more on that WOTUS deal tomorrow. Matter of fact, speaking of tomorrow, Gary McManus with the Oklahoma Mesonet and state climatologist will be on the show tomorrow. So think of some questions you want to ask him if you're interested. Me and Monty Tucker was talking this morning on the phone, and the Oklahoma Mesonet is just, it's a very valuable tool for Oklahoma farmers and ranchers and even gardeners. And I go by it. I use it when I'm baling hay. And the way you don't sit out there like we did back in the 80s, waiting for it to go in case, you can actually set your alarm and get out of bed and be over there in plenty of time to catch your hay going in the case. Just good things like that. And know when you don't need to drive 40 miles to a farm that you got if you know it's too wet, humidity's too high, whatever. But it's really cool. I do have the West Texas Mesonet that I've been using, but it's in its development stages anyway. So we're going to ask him how the Oklahoma Mesonet got started and a little bit of history on it behind it tomorrow. And we're also going to ask about what the future next couple, 2 or 3 months look like, because he's a farmer and a rancher. Farmer wants to know what his crops may be doing if you don't have irrigation, and ranchers obviously want to know if they're going to have grass pasture. So anyway, we got that all going on. All right, cattle inventory by the number. How does it compare? It's official. The cattle inventory report has been released by the USDA, and we got some comparisons to do. On cue with the 10-year cattle cycle, 2022 brought drought across most of the country, leading to multiple inventory reactions within the industry. And you heard Jerry Nina's report a while ago. Shortage of cattle going on right now, cows and heifers. And if you got any you want to sell, now through April, I think you're going to hit a home run with them. Okay, so beef cattle inventory by state. Let's go with Texas, if I can find it. They don't even have Texas or Oklahoma on here. How about that? Anyway, let's see here. Who's the big boy on this chart that they got? Arkansas. 905,000 head last year. This year, 866,000 head. In 2013, 10 years ago, 851,000. In Kansas, 2022, last year, 1,422,000 head of cows last year. They are down approximately 107,000 head compared to this year compared to last year. And at the same point in 2013, you guys remember, that was a drought year, 1,328. So they're right where they was in that drought back then. And so anyway, more on this tomorrow. Appreciate you guys listening. Love you all. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.